Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we got a special guest with us. Kind of special. Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at Vaquero Country Club in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, will be joining us here shortly to talk about all kinds of cool stuff, mostly about me and my swing, and we'll just break it down, and because that's all anybody cares about is how my game's going. In the meantime, RBC Canadian Open moving to a new venue. They'll be playing at TPC Toronto starting in a couple of days. And the LIV Tour back in action at the LIV Tour golf event in Virginia. And that'll be happening here this weekend as well. So a lot of golf happening around the world that we'll get into and talk about. Oh, a little Scottie Scheffler and you name it. In the meantime, Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios, who is updating all the software that makes this show possible. And is ready to wring somebody's neck. How you doing, Frank? You calm down?
I'm
you okay?
I'm telling you. I turned on all the stuff in the studio this morning, and everything updated last night for some reason.
Oh, my God.
From the,
why do they do that?
Our board, the Rodecaster, to the Rodecaster video, to the product that we use to connect with, and oh, my God, everything. And the computer. So I'm like an hour and a half trying to get stuff running. You know?
Everything is better in today's world, right, with all the software. But then again,
if it's
a little glitch, it makes life hell, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You know, we just need a switchboard and a payphone. You know, I'll be happy. Anyway, enough about all that. I mean, it's been crazy, and it's been a great golf week for Mr. Scheffler last week. But I think we need somebody else to help us talk about that.
Well, you know, I used to do a podcast on PGA Tour Radio with Steve Johnson and Champions Tour member Paul Stankowski. So I prepped for this show just like Paul used to prep for our show. So I'm really not sure who's coming on, and I'm not sure I'm going to take Steve Johnson. I really don't even know who that is.
Who is Steve? What does he do?
Who Steve is and why we're here and what's going on. So you just fill in the blanks. Steve is here. He remembers the good old days. And again, Director of Instruction at Vaquero. How you doing, Stevie Ray?
Hey guys, how you doing? I'm doing good. Weather in Dallas, it's a fall again here, but other than that, it's going good.
I don't know, kind of weird, isn't it? We got Sahara coming over too. I don't know if you guys saw that in the weather, but there's Sahara dust storms that happen every now and then, and the jet stream sends them over our way, and so the whole country, not just Dallas, but we're going to be getting, if you see really pretty sunsets and sunrises, but you also see some haze, that's because it's dust way up in the atmosphere.
So and then the smoke from Canada. So, wow.
You know, so
let's all just choke to death when we go outside and play golf.
What's going on at Vaquero, Steve? You got a little kids camp this week, huh?
Well, we got all sports camp today. We've got a lot of athletes out here. So we start out with golf in the morning, 9 o'clock. Then they go to tennis. Mm. Then they go to pickleball. Then they go to the pool.
Yeah.
And then it's nap time. Nap time.
I'm all about the pool, Steve. Let's go to the pool.
That's Steve's nap time. That's Steve. That's not the kids.
So we kind of lucked out. Well, I mean, actually, it's 9 o'clock. This is early for the kids. You know, this is kind of the second, third week if they're out of school. Mm-hmm. So we'll get the sleepy campers with us, late shower uppers, you know, the guys that don't get there right away. Sure. But the hour goes pretty quickly. We just need to make sure, just like in any kids' camp, no injuries. We do some safety talks. We're going to get them to hit the ball. We're going to get them to putt the ball. And most of all, no injuries.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, we've got a strict safety protocol over here, Tim.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You got to take care of those kids during those summer camps, which, by the way, the parents rely on those camps, Steve. You know that. Even if the kid's a little hurt or something going on, they're not coming to get them. They've already committed. You got those kids to 3 o'clock or whatever it is. So they're not coming back.
Right. And it's fun for those kids. You know what? I missed out. I left the one out too. They go to fish camp too. They catch fish.
Nice little fishing hole there too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carol. Yeah, you do. I remember.
And one of the things they advertise here, if you put your line in and you don't catch something, that's a rare occasion. So they've got these fish are jumping on all over each other. They're trying to get out.
I was playing there a few years ago, and seriously, Hunter Mahan and was it Ben Crane? Was it over by 16 or something? You guys have a fishing hole, and and they had their
it's
poles
nice
out.
Little pond.
Yeah, they keep their poles in their golf bag, and they go. Seriously, we're fishing. right there while we're playing some golf. And yeah, go ahead. You guys go through. We got to catch some trout. So yeah, it's kind of, well, good for you. That should be fun. We know. So we got limited time with you. So let's get into Scotty Scheffler. I kind of was curious because of your experiences back with Hank Haney and working with Mr. Woods in the day. Are you seeing any similarities? Is his level of domination close to, do you think, and comparable to where Tiger was in 98, 99, 2000, 2001 kind of point for him?
He's getting there. He's getting there. I mean, Tiger Woods had the whole package, though. I mean, it's not only was he winning, but it looked good. Everyone was trying to copy his swing, copying everything he did. But in terms of the results, gosh darn, you think you're always looking, like just like they used to look with Tiger Woods. Hey, where is he on the leaderboard?
Right.
Scotty Scheffler made his way up that hole during the weekend. He just kept getting higher and higher up on the leaderboard, and then all of a sudden he wins the dang thing, you know?
It's kind of his MO. I mean, he hangs tight. He seldom seems like he's ever out of a tournament, even if he opens with a par or one under par and he's five back. He's always right there on the first, second page of the leaderboard. And you're right. He's like that guy in the rearview mirror. They all had to know where Tiger was. And as Ernie famously said, we're all kind of playing for second a lot of times. I almost think, and if you look at the World Golf Rankings, the FedEx Cup points, Scotty's got a huge lead over everybody, just like Tiger used to in those standings, which is an evaluation, if you will, of a season or last year or whatever it's been of the points added up. It's not close. And it's close for everybody from second to third, from fifth to sixth. All those guys are within striking distance. But everybody is right. Is way back from Scotty. So it does seem like his domination is, and he just won again at Memorial, an extremely challenging golf course, which should have set him up pretty good for the U.S. Open, wouldn't you think?
I would think so. And that course is going to be, I mean, it's one of our members is playing in a little event there right now.
Oh, yeah.
And he sent back a little text that says, man, this thing is a ball buster. And no doubt about it. He said the rough wasn't as high as it was in 2016, but nonetheless, very, very difficult golf course.
Frank, you ever played Oakmont?
I'm sorry, I was taking a nap. Yes, I have, one time in my life.
Oh, did you really?
That was
plenty. What did you think of it?
That was it's a fabulous golf course, but it is so difficult, it's ridiculous. I mean, and they keep it that way. I mean, they keep it in U.S. Open conditions. That's just the membership. That's what they want.
All the time.
Yeah. Wow. It'll kill you. I mean, it's tough. But
Steve, have you played it?
And they joked. I haven't played it. I've walked it probably a dozen times. They do advertise it that they have to slow the greens down when they play a USG event there. So
yeah.
I mean, they're proud of the fact. And I wrote my buddy who sent me that text. I said, you know what? Those members that are members there probably have another course that they play that they have fun at. Because it's not a lot of fun.
Yeah, TPC Sawgrass.
Yeah. Really. And that's what I'm thinking is like when you have a handicap and it's relative to your course, that still can be miles apart, right? If you're five handicap at Oakmont and you're five handicap at your other local course, you might double or triple it, right? If you guys are saying how tough that golf course is, you're a really good golfer if you're single digit at Oakmont.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's The greens are so fast and sloped. The fairways will be narrow. The rough will be thick. Back in 2016, they had some weather. I'm not sure what the weather's supposed to be like this week, but when you have weather, anything that softens the course up is going to make it a little bit easier for those players because they hit it so long, they would rather have it just hit and stop. When the fairways get firm and fast, and the ball's going to roll into the rough and all that. So, I mean, it just takes it to a higher level of skill when you've got a firm and fast course compared to one that's a little bit wet.
We're talking with Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at Vaquero Country Club in north of Fort Worth, a little bit there, former partners with Hank Haney for years and years. And so I'm curious, too, about getting back to Scotty Scheffler, but Scotty playing and winning at Memorial, which maybe for a lot of people came to be expected. He started slow this year, right? It was just a few weeks ago. People are like, he hadn't won yet. Well, then he turns it on, and now he's won everything every time he plays. But Rory didn't play, and Rory wasn't there, even though it was a signature event, and most of the big guys are always there to play. And my question to you, Stevie, is, and Frank too, chime in about Rory apparently not having the wherewithal to pick up a phone and call Mr. Nicklaus to say, I'm not going to be able to make it to your tournament, which seems like it would be an automatic, and you wouldn't have to be told to do that, and yet he didn't do it. What do you guys think about that?
And I think that's a little bit bad form.
Yeah,
I mean,
terrible form. Yep.
You know, you've only got 70 players in that event. 70 players. Was there a cut? Did they have a cut this
year?
Yeah,
they did. Yeah, they cut like 20. Right, they went from like 75 to 50 or something like that. Yeah.
But man, especially a guy that's, you know, an ambassador of the game like Jack Nicklaus is, at least a phone call. At least if I think even Tiger would have done that.
Well, I mean, didn't Rory say, I called Jack and we talked before the Masters? Like, you wanted a little bit of advice or something about the Masters, but I guess he didn't have – I mean, there's just a thing about Rory that I think rubs a lot of people, and maybe I'll just speak for myself, rubs me the wrong way, that he can be hot and cold. He can come off fine and nice when things are, I guess, rosy, but when they're not, he avoids the media. He gets in his car. He drives away. He doesn't fulfill what normal people would say would obligations that you would have at that level. And that's a tournament that they sell, right, for all the people in the Columbus, Dublin, Ohio area. They want to see the big-name players.
When it's basically decorum.
World, you know? When he doesn't show up, it's like, oh, Rory's not here. It's a bit of a diss. And you would at least say, Mr. Nicklaus, I just can't make it. I'm tired. I've got a sore elbow. Whatever the reason is, not to even do that is almost, it's because – it just comes off like I'm a little bit too big for this, and I don't need to mess with the niceties that other people would do.
It's not good form.
Nope, it is not.
Yeah. Frank wouldn't have done it. Frank would have called Jack.
I would have called Mr. Nicklaus, absolutely.
Mr. Nicklaus?
Yeah, Mr. Nicklaus. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm really, a lot of people around here, even at my club, we were talking about it, and they just said, that's just, he's losing fans more than he's gaining fans.
And I think it started with Liv. I'm going to say that I think it started with Liv.
It did.
Where he came off holier than thou, right? Being, Liv, that sucks, and the bad money is dirty.
Blood money.
He did
blood
all this
money,
really nasty stuff until it became, then Monahan, we're going to merge, and we're all friends again. And then he had to eat crow and act like, I guess the Liv guys are okay. That's, I think, started a cycle of people looking at Rory, what's his problem? And I think it was also brought up in some of those Liv meetings where he talked like, don't anybody else go to Liv. And some people stood up and said, well, Rory, we don't all fly private jets. Some of us have to worry about making money and taking care of our families. And it was almost like, you're not all like me. You know, it's just sometimes he's too distant.
He's forgotten where he came from. I mean, he's the classic case of making it big and forgetting where he came from, I think. In my opinion, whatever.
Speaking of Liv, Steve, again, while we have you here, and I know your time's a bit limited, it looked, and I think Frank and I talked about this after the PGA Championship, that the Liv guys that were playing well, and even maybe go back to the Masters, didn't close out. And some speculation is that because Liv has made life too easy? You got your big bundle of money. You're playing for big bundles of money. Therefore, the competitive juices aren't quite what they should be. If you're Bryson or Rahm or Cam Smith, name whoever you want, Dustin Johnson, a lot of them did not play well or didn't close it when they could have. Do you think there's any validity to that?
You know, I mean, if anything, I know that the crowds for Liv are not near as what they are in the majors. I think that would get their juices flowing. Maybe they're just not used to, you know, I mean, it's when you're getting paid no matter what.
That's what I mean.
I don't think it's a great form of competition with the Liv format. I miss the players. I tell you what, Bryson DeChambeau, he were on the PGA Tour, PGA Tour would be stronger.
For sure.
What about the days?
Even though he's not playing that well, what's that?
What about the days though? The 3 days as opposed to four. Because it seems like they all they folded
these
on
guys
the
are in great shape.
Yeah, they are. You're right.
These guys are in great shape, though. I mean, they've been playing golf for a long time, and they've been competitive for a long time. They know they're gearing up for the majors. The problem is that there's only very, very few of the Liv guys can get in those major tournaments.
Well, they're trying to expand that, but it's not nearly as flush with LIV as certainly the PGA Tour has guys right. in there. And, right. and so, and I think too, here, the other thing too is, you know, that maybe counters what I just asked the question. Every other sport, and we've talked about this when it came to LIV, and that's where kind of Mickelson was going when he started saying, okay, we got to do this and there's guarantees. Well, everybody, LeBron has guarantees. Luka Doncic has guarantees. All those guys don't play for their money, right? They've already got their money, and yet they right. are expected to be competitive. They're expected. So
yeah.
would it be just different because I'm a golfer and I've got all this guaranteed pot of money, I've lost my competitiveness? I wouldn't think so, right? I think if you're Bryson, if you're a competitive athlete, I want to win no matter what, right? Which Bryson showed mm-hmm. certainly last year coming back and playing great at Pinehurst and beating Rory. A lot of people love that. It wasn't, you know, he didn't have lack of competition in doing that stuff. So yeah, I don't know, but that's what some people were speculating. I had a lot of people saying, guys that aren't really LIV fans and PGA champ, see what happened to Rom? Yeah, that's what happens when you got all your guaranteed. Oh, okay. Well, that was their thought. I think they're anti-LIV to begin with, but yeah, it's an interesting, and by the way, and we talked about this, Frank, it doesn't seem like they're getting any closer, does it? Do we hear any talks about where these two sides are getting together to talk, like there's going to be a merger, or are we just going to dream about that for 5 years and it never really happens?
I have no idea. You know, I've given up thinking about that because there's been billions of rumors out there and nobody says anything, just like McIlroy got caught in that crossfire when he was ranting and raving about LIV and all of a sudden CNBC breaks that story and McIlroy had no idea that was coming. So the tour at that level, at that high level, Suite A, they don't share anything with anybody, and they don't have to, and they know yeah. it. So, I don't
are
like
waiting
it.
Them out? Yeah. Like, are they waiting them out, right? Yeah. You got to wonder, are they just yeah. kind of going, well, maybe we don't need to have the LIV guys.
Yeah.
Although, everybody likes golf, Steve, like you said, you got to have those guys. And I'm not saying every LIV player. But
well, less and less, Tim, going forward, less and less you have to have them because look at what the tour has done with the new players. The new yeah. names are getting notoriety, a lot of notoriety. So well, are they just waiting them out to get old and decrepit and go to the senior tour?
I just hope that they find a way to, at the very yeah. least, say, let them play some, right? Because yeah. I want to see those guys. And yeah, you see them in the majors, but I want to say, doesn't Bryson deserve to be on the Ryder Cup? I mean, Rahm's going to be on the Ryder Cup, right? I think Europe's already made their changes. But I want to see Bryson in everything he can play in. And you're right, Koepka kind of goes up and down a little bit, but I'd like to see Koepka more often in that kind of competition yeah. as well. I want the best golfers.
And Captain right? America.
Sort of, yes. Know? Yeah. I mean, I think want to see
even
the best
if Koepka's
golfers.
Not playing well, he's a personality. He's sure. a guy that
will
say something, he's not afraid to say something about a player or a situation. we need personalities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one of the things I know Phil Mickelson's getting older and in his 50s, and but dang, he was always a really good interview.
Yeah.
As is Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah. And as you said, Captain America, Patrick Reed always seems to come through, doesn't he? I mean, he's up there in the majors. He plays well at the Masters.
Yeah, exactly. I was surprised he didn't do better in the Masters.
Yeah. I mean, it's. So, yeah, I think, and again, it's not 50
of those
guys.
I look at the leaderboards now, guys, and I see leaderboards early in the week. You don't recognize many of the names, or I don't recognize many of the names. I couldn't pick these guys out of a lineup, which is not good for our sport.
No, it isn't.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, it is somewhat top heavy. They're playing this week at the Canadian Open. And again, you know, you're looking at guys like, you know, Bo Hostler and Justin Lower, you know. These are Andrew Putnam. That's who played because they're not signature events. And that's where we're going. We've been there that right. you've got the haves and have nots, the big tournaments with the big name guys. And then you get these tournaments and the guys that need to make some money, get some Ryder Cup points. They'll be there, but it's not the big names. And I just wonder about the future, right? Can these other tournaments that don't normally have the big names, can they keep surviving, you know, thriving, that's my word, thriving with sponsorships and things. If people are going, yeah, but you guys never get a top 20 player, I don't know if I want to put my money into that. That's the question, too.
Right.
Going forward. Yeah, so we'll see. You know, Monahan's yeah. got all the answers, right?
Well, the sponsor right. the sponsor pool is getting low on water.
I think so.
I do too. I mean, just like Fort Worth, you know, Charles Schwab is dedicated. And you see week in and week out, guys, the tour releases a press release that XYZ Corporation has signed on for another 5 years or 6 years, whatever. So they're selling their asses off is what they're doing to keep these sponsors right now. And they're doing anything they can do.
Yeah.
When the TV contracts come up next, that's where the mustard's going to squirt out of the bottle all over the table.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see if that actually. And by the way, I mentioned the beloved Rory McIlroy. He's playing Canadian Open.
Yes, he is.
So, you know, I don't know why. Not Memorial, but I think, here's what I'm going to start, is he's avoiding Scotty. That's what I'm going to say.
What?
He's trying. He doesn't want to face Scotty. He's scared of Scotty.
I don't know about that.
Start that, Steve. Put that on social media. Would you do that?
Yeah.
You got what? You got a couple of dozen
followers. I don't do that anymore, Tim. Right?
Yeah.
You got that many people following you. Put that out there.
Yeah, hashtag Pam Bondi. Go ahead. Rory, try that. Yeah. We'll have the Justice Department all over us next.
Ditch it, Scotty.
Yeah. I don't think that's the case.
No, I don't think so either. But it just probably worked in his schedule, and that's fine. It was just, you know, the way he did it is kind of what we're talking about. I get it. The guys can't play every tournament.
Hey, Steve, I've got a question for Steve in regard to, and I know he's got to go, but real quick, driver shafts.
Mm.
Recommendation for low swing speed guy like me, okay? Up in age.
Well, That's a great question because, you know, a lot of people go to golf stores and they say, hey, you know, what should I have? And they've got a very limited amount of shafts. I definitely for the driver, I would go club fitting. One of the aftermarket club fitters, Club Champion, True Spec, every big city has at least two or three of them because you can't select it based on the brand name and all that. You got to hit it.
Right.
And if you've got all the options, it'll be very evident which one is going to be good for you and which ones are not good for you. It's amazing when customers come in to get a club fitting, Frank, and they think, hey, I want to get the new Titleist driver with this shaft and blah, 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 blah. And
they
do the testing and they realize, hey, the Titleist one isn't the best. Right. I hit this other one much better. So, I mean, I'd go in with an open mind. I'd go in with somebody that knows shaft technology changes a bunch during the year and they're always getting new type of shafts in. I would definitely go to, that would be a good investment. It costs about $100. No obligation to buy anything. They'll give you the specs that you need and then you can go buy it anywhere. Yeah. So that's what I would recommend.
Yeah. Does it need lower weight, you think, Steve? I mean, it needs to be less stiff when you get older?
Not necessarily.
It depends on the transition from the backswing to the downswing. But overall, I mean, there's certain clubs that will reflex better with faster speeds than slower speeds. Now, there's this shaft called I think it's called the AccuShaft or something like that. Really, really flexible shaft that a lot of really good players are using. So, I mean, I would recommend, rather than guessing, I would recommend go to a club fitting. Get with somebody that knows what they're doing. They're going to have you try at least a dozen different shafts on different heads, and it'll be evident to you. The numbers will tell you which ones are in the ball game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the only other question is, how much do you want to spend?
Yeah,
and there's price points all over the place. You know, I mean, you can spend, as just like in any other sport, you can spend as much as you wanted to on technology, but it's not going to necessarily lead to better performance.
Yeah, there are $1,000 shafts out there.
Oh, yeah, there are. Yeah.
I mean, there's $150 shafts.
There's some of those sitting in the studio right now. I've got a bag full of shafts.
$1,000 shafts out there.
Yeah.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
I've got Velocors and blue and black and red and all sorts of different stuff.
Got a little pro shop going.
Graphite design or whatever. I do. I've got tons of shafts in here.
Hey, Steve, I sent you a video of my swing. Do you think Champions Tour is in my future? Be honest.
What, Tim? Your swing's looking good.
Thank
Your swing's
you.
Looking really good. It looks powerful.
I don't send you
It looks
my
like
wedge
you could tend to hook it a little bit too much, though. Do you hook it when you miss?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I try to cut off the fade to the right shot. So I guess my miss is going to be the left.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to have.
But no, your swing's looking good.
All right, so I'm going to take on Stankowski next. I'm going after him.
Yeah, right. Okay. Good luck with that one.
Hey, I'm going to need to peel off here because.
Okay.
I got a bunch of kids that will be here in a second.
You got kids wanting peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I'll leave you with this thought, Steve. Sunscreen.
Hang on, let me practice here. I'm going to practice my speech here. Sit down, shut up. Sit down.
I'm in charge. All right, Steve, have a good day.
All right, guys, we'll see you.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it, buddy.
See ya. Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction
Sit down and shut up.
In Children's Discipline at Vaquero Country Club.
That was good. So, I like
I'll
that.
Tell you what. Frank, you know as well as I do. I mean, you're a grandparent. I'm a grandparent. But even when you're a parent and you had younger kids, those summers come and the parents are like, what are we doing with the kids? Because school is a necessity.
Let's take them to grandma and grandpa's.
It's also daycare, right? So suddenly you're like, okay, what are we doing with these kids this summer? And you got to put them in, in Steve's little golf pickleball camp.
That's why there's more day drinking in over 60. Because those kids are coming over. Granddaddy's drunk again. Can't leave him there.
Sit down, shut up.
Get off my lawn.
Grandpa's watching Golf
Channel. Favorite commercial on TV. The guy, it's a Mercedes that he has. You really don't see that. But the grandkids are coming over, and he's like in a panic. He sees the hot dog hit the seat with the mustard. And, you know, so he's going to get all the WeatherTech, I think, is a commercial, all the car covers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for everything. Yeah. That's classic. Anyway, I asked that question about shafts because I have so many shafts. And PXG, who is our sponsor, my sponsor, they're always, sending me something or having me go back to my fitter, actually, and go through stuff. And I end up on my own messing around with the shafts after I leave there. And I said, well, let me put this one in this head and see how this does. And I need to get to something and stick with it. If Nicholas played the same 3-wood for 15 years, I think it was.
Was that right?
Yeah. I should just stick with my Black Ops, driver with the Velocor shaft in there.
Yeah, change clubs too much, I mean, because there's some people, and I know, everybody knows them, and Steve just said, that'll spend whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Because they think they're going to buy a game, right? And so it's my new putter, my new head, my drivers, whatever. It's a new golf bag. Okay. Yeah. Rangefinder. Give me a better rangefinder. Yeah. Okay. I'm just like, I'll probably switch out every 5 years, maybe 6 years, but I'll keep close for a while. I've got friends that sometimes will go through 2 sets in a year.
Well, you still play Titleist, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still play Titleist, like them. But I think in all honesty for, the amateur golfer, and I'd say from the, single digit handicap all the way up to 20-25 handicap. Steve's right. It is better to get fitted and there is a difference. But once you find that TaylorMade is your best, or Callaway is your best, Titleist is what works for you, then, you'll see commercials and you'll be tempted because the new latest comes out, right? And you'll see Bryson or somebody promoting there, and you're like, oh, well, okay, none of us are even close to Bryson's game. So whatever he's playing, it's different. If you're Michael Jordan, his basketball and your basketball are kind of the same basketball, right? I mean, it's not really, they don't have technology that's changing. But when it comes to golf, other sport, it's a huge difference.
Well, tennis is the same way. I mean, you play tennis, you know that. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. That, remember the old head racket that was so stinking shit. It just, stiff as hell.
Yeah.
It would. You'd have tennis elbow and after 3 matches.
Yeah.
It would kill you.
Yeah. But no, it's just different.
Of course, not because it's PXG, but. Or because they're my sponsor, but PXG expanded their line of clubs so that they have clubs now that mid to high handicappers can help them.
Yeah.
So they're not just for single digit or plus handicappers anymore. PXG has a full line.
Well, and they'll fit it's no different than golf balls too, right? You look at golf balls.
Yeah.
PXG makes a very high end.
Oh yeah.
Pro V1 ish golf ball. Another golf.
Great balls.
But that's not for everybody. And if you're seriously shooting in the mid 90s and trying to break 100, or you don't need to be hitting a $50 dozen.
Do you know
golf balls,
what I shot the other day?
You can tell me if you want.
Yeah, I don't want to say it, but I will because it's out there.
Okay.
Because again, I've had a lot of things going on this past couple of years.
Yes.
And 94. I shot a 94. 94. I was. Bit to be tied.
Did not want to keep playing golf, did you?
No, I was like, they almost went in the water hazard. Clubs, bag, everything.
If it wasn't for PXG being such good people, I would have tossed them into a.
I will tell you that that I had a couple of guys say, listen, I said, God, I'll quit. And they said, can I have your clubs? I said, yeah, before, go to hell. Yeah. Get out of here.
You, you know what? I mean, it was terrible, but it's funny how people, you know, and they say it all the time on the broadcast and everything like that, that, you know, Trevor, is when somebody struggles, you just, you say, golf is hard. And golf is hard.
It's hard.
It's a hard sport. And you can be a phenomenal athlete in any other sport, whether you're a world-class soccer player, NBA player, whatever. You could be, and it doesn't always translate to golf, which is very frustrating for athletes because they're like, dang, I mean, I could jump out of the gym. I'm fast. I'm a all-pro wide receiver. And they pick up a golf club, and they look like Charles Barkley. And it's a hard game. It's a hard game.
You know, when Phil was working with Charles Barkley, remember that a few years ago? They were playing together, Phil Mickelson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had Barkley playing great.
He did.
He had him playing great. So,
yeah.
I found in my clubs, and I'll go back to because I play all PXG, that, you know, the PXG has, like I say, all the 317s, 0317s, which are the tour blades, basically.
Yeah.
And they have some new ones. I have a mixed set. I have some that are forgiving and the longer irons, and then I have some blades in there, like 7, 8, 9, I play blades and wedges. So I
mix
it up.
They just feel better for you that way?
Yeah, they
do.
Like
the feel of that
club? I love the feel of those clubs. Yeah.
Yeah.
The longer irons, I need some forgiveness. And actually, you know, once I get to like a 4-iron, then I switch over to hybrids. Yeah.
Yeah. Almost everybody now is kind of, I just took my son to Dallas Golf, which is a local place here that you can get fitted. And because he's getting married, and I said, hey, I'm going to get you a set of clubs for your, you know, as one of your wedding gifts. And he's trying to play more and more, but he plays, you know, 6-10 times a year. And so he's never really had, he borrows my clubs usually. And so I wanted to get him a nice set of clubs.
You wanted to get him out of your bag.
and so we went there and we were looking at different types of clubs. Well, you know, as they always do, they have drawers full of the different heads, right? And they just put the different heads on different shafts for you and test all this stuff like Steve was explaining. And I took out like 3 or 4 different Titleist heads and held them there and showed my son, Logan. And you could see the difference. And one of them was a pure blade, the MB, which is for
muscle back. Yeah.
And I said, there's like a pure pro's blade, right? That is literally as thin as a butter knife, right? Kind of. And then here's the bigger, you know, more.
The Prince tennis racket as opposed to
forgiving.
Davis, you know, classic.
And I said, you're more at this end, right? You need forgiveness because you don't hit straight on. I said this, and he goes, well, what's the difference? Why would if this is more forgiving, why would a pro hit that, right, as a blade? And I said, well, because the pros hit, and, you know, I put my finger nail right here. I go, pros hit right there, every time, right there. You, on the other hand, Logan, and me, hit it over here and over there and over there. So you need a bigger head, and it's more forgiving. And so behind that face, there, and I was explaining all that to him. And so he goes, okay, so.
Well, and then workability, too. I mean.
MP3. Yeah, and I said, and those guys have to hit a shot that's going to go high or low or left or right. And with that club and their skills, they can do that. You and I just put it back in the fairway.
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about trying to hit it under a tree from 220 and then have it rise over the creek. And then, you know, we're not worried about that shot. So, but it gave them a good idea of, you know, the differences. And that's why people need to go get fitted, because you might be playing a club that you think you should be playing. And maybe you're better than that club and you should be more towards a blade. Maybe you're hitting a blade. But the first club that I ever bought, Frank, when I was just learning how to play golf out of college, I mean, really playing on a regular basis, were old Hogan Apex.
The Apex 2s?
Yes.
With the face on it? I loved those clubs.
They were beautiful golf clubs.
I wore 2 sets of those out. Oh, my God.
I wish I kept them.
They were great clubs.
But they were not right for me to be. But the guy, the pro, you know, was apparently an Apex guy, a Hogan guy. So he said, hey, I'll sell you these. And so that's why I got them, because they were cheap. I didn't know the difference from, you know, left or right. But
well,
yeah,
I was
playing like.
Yeah, we were younger and we were playing better.
Playing
I was playing
blades.
Better in those days a lot.
But I was just learning. So for a lot of people out there, that, you know, play the club that's best for your game. And if you improve, like I said to Logan, I go, and maybe you keep playing and you get better in 3 or 4 or 5 years, you'll want to go to a different, right? Instead of the MP3s, right? For, or the T300s for
T300s,
Logan, maybe
you
go towards the T200s, T150s.
What are you playing
now?
T100s?
T100S. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pro.
So,
you practice.
No,
you play a lot more than I do. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, I try to. I'm.
How do you explain to me how you get away with that with your wife? Would you?
She works quite a bit. And I never complain when she can't come home. I'm like, that's okay, honey. You keep going.
What time are you getting home tonight? 8 o'clock? No problem.
She doesn't know if
I'm
playing.
I'll get a Whataburger for you.
I'll be honest too. She's not here. She's alone. I don't always tell her when I'm playing. That's the other part. And I don't get the guy who's like always telling his wife, I was out playing golf today, because you don't want her to think, is that all you do?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, when she says, what'd you do today? If I did play golf, I mentioned a few other things. Well, I got the car washed. And I did podcast, and I went up on the roof, and I was kind of looking at some shingles, and she thinks I'm.
I go out to my club, and of course the president of the company that Pam, my wife's with, he's a member there too, so he's out there all the time, and that SOB will pick up his phone and call her and say he'll drive by me with the phone and say, hey, I'm talking to Pam. You want to talk to your husband? He's out here. He does that to me. I don't need that,
Yeah.
I told JB, I said, don't do that anymore.
I spent my professional life when I was a sports anchor having to almost apologize when somebody would say, well, what do you do? Or my wife would even sometimes get in a, a little, not my current wife, get in a current, a little bit of a tizzy about how much fun I have. And I go, like today, what'd you do? I go, I went to Cowboys practice, and then I went to the Mavericks game, and watched the Mavericks play the Lakers, and I got home at 10:30.
That's your job.
And I'm like, that's what I do. Well, she's like, I go, well, would it be better if I'm breaking rocks?
Yeah. You want me to work at the local Walmart as a greeter? It's going to change your lifestyle, Dumpling.
I go, there could be a lot of things that are harder physically. Does that make you happy? But this is what I do. And so, yeah, it is kind of fun, but I'm sorry. So I kind of have to apologize that that's not a job. Yeah.
Hey, I want to back up to something real quick about handicaps and for our listeners. And what you brought up earlier about playing, being at a club that has a very difficult course, so your handicap, you go somewhere else, it's going to travel with you pretty well.
Yes, if you're at Oakmont.
So I go up to Firestone and play, and the head pro at Firestone comes out. He knows us and listens to our show.
An invited club, by the way.
Invited, yes. Our sponsor, by the way, along with PXG. Anyway, so I'm there, and he says, Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club, Hendersonville, Tennessee. Yeah, Frank, y'all's handicaps travel real well, don't they? And he wasn't saying it like it's a really hard golf course. He was saying got a bunch of sandbaggers there at Bluegrass. but it's true, because Bluegrass is an extremely difficult golf course.
Yeah.
And you'll see if you come to Nashville, you're not play it.
It is. Yeah. It is, but it does. It's very different. And you play some other courses that are relatively easy courses, right? And they all have the same handicap system. I mean, like, it's a national system. So, but it's very different if you play at some of those Northeast courses that Art Selinger, our good friend, talks about all the time. That if you're at Aronimink or at the, what else is out in Philadelphia? Marion,
Marion.
If you're playing there, and you can play at Oakmont, and you can play at some of these major, really, really good golf courses that are tough. Yeah, it's a lot different than going to play at another one, just pick up a course somewhere in Iowa, and you're suddenly, and it's wide open and the big fairways, and suddenly you're 66.
Ours aren't. So I love going to Florida, because I came out of Florida, right?
Yeah.
And I go back to Sawgrass, where I was a member forever, actually still am. And I play it better than I play, and not Sawgrass, TPC Sawgrass. Sawgrass Country Club is different. But I play it better than I play Bluegrass. And again,
do you like
it has
trees or no trees?
Do I what? At Bluegrass?
Do you care one way or the other? Yeah, no, I'm saying if you're playing golf.
It doesn't matter to me.
I love desert golf.
I think it's
beautiful. It's a visual thing for me. I think the fact that you don't really see trees, I mean, there's an occasional some palm trees over here.
Yeah.
It's mostly cactus and rock, right?
Rattlesnakes, yeah.
But I think I visually don't feel intimidated. Versus those golf courses, like you said about traveling, those golf courses that are tree-lined.
Oh, those Parkland courses will kill you. And that's what we are.
Oh, my God. How do I hit that ball? Because you have to hit a little cut here, a little draw around these trees. Yeah. The trees are 80 feet high, so they catch your shots. And those always visually, and maybe I'm normal. Maybe I'm saying it like it's weird, but maybe that's normal for everybody. But I love going to play where it looks like you can spray the ball. I try not to, but it looks like you can still find it and go to it and I love playing out in the Southwest.
Yeah, our course, 10, you make the turn. 10 is a par 3 over water, island, little island, right? Tough little hole. I mean, it's the toughest par 4 on the course playing to a par 3. That's kind of, we joke about it. 11, straightaway, nothing. 12, long par 5. The fairway slopes from left to right at Bluegrass, all the way up to the green, which slopes from right to left, okay? And it's a little bit of a hair dog leg to the right. And down that right side, when you get within 150 yards of the green, are these monstrous trees all the way up there. Yeah. And again, the fairway pitches. So everything you hit, you've got to aim down that left side.
Yeah.
Or you got to aim down the right side and hook the hell out of it, you know, bring it back in, right? It's just strategic. And invariably, I get down there where I have to cut it around those trees, and it's all OB down the left side. So if it doesn't cut for you, you know, if you get double-crossed, goodbye. It's that difficult a course. It really is a thinking man's golf course. It's a fabulous golf course. Bluegrass is an older country club. It's a beautiful place, but I don't know, man.
There's nothing more frustrating, though, than wasted shots, are there?
Oh, God.
You hit a shot that catches a tree, and now you're behind a tree, and you're like, oh, I can't even get to the green. And you got to – it just frustrates the heck out of me, even though it happens in golf. And you're like, okay, and I love the challenge. We all love the challenge of golf, right? If you play a good round, you kind of feel like you pat yourself on the back, like, okay, I did something today. But, boy, you hit some shots that – and they seem to come in droves.
And you can't go home and tell your wife, too. You know, it's on the day you snuck out that you shot a 68. You know, you can't go tell anybody.
Yeah.
Or you get a hole in one and they put it in the paper. In the old days, they would put it in the paper, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I was sick today. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
No, there it is.
Apparently you weren't that sick.
You weren't that sick. Swinging slow because I didn't feel good. Anyway, it's all about the handicaps. That's a whole program that we can do because people don't use them correctly either. They don't understand the system and what your course handicap is. You got to be careful with that.
I kind of, you know, I've always tried to be honest, and I don't mean that in a you know, pat myself on the back like I'm soon to be the Pope, but I've never tried to sandbag and say, okay, I'm a 7, but I'm going to try to tell everybody that I'm a 14. Because what I don't want to do
is see that in your swing.
Yeah, and what I don't want to do is play down to that. Like, I don't want to, like, suck because suddenly I'm playing guys that don't know, and they're like, oh, okay, well, I want to play as good as I can play. And if I'm a 10 and I can play and shoot really well, okay, then I feel good about myself. Yeah. I might lose money. I get that part. But that, to me, is not – I never play for enough that matters, right? If I win $100, lose $50, okay.
Some
guys, they're like, okay, it's all about, I got to win money.
Right? Yeah, at our club, oh, yeah, it's a dollar. They're millionaires all over the place at our club. And $1, they kill you for it. I won't get into all that. I don't think our listeners really want to hear all that. Of the things, I had a lot of good rounds. So my handicap was pretty low. Not below 5, but it was pretty low. And now everybody's playing off of me still because I have very few rounds, and the few rounds I have been high, but I haven't played enough to make it adjust my handicap.
Yeah.
You know, and so you play a few good rounds, that handicap drops. You play a few bad rounds, that handicap doesn't move. I'm like, wait a minute, you know.
Well, they've adjusted the handicap, about 5 years ago to kind of make it more
current. But it's still not there.
No, but to try to make it more current. Yeah. It had been where it would be huge gaps. Like, they'd wait for 20 rounds before they'd really kind of adjust your handicap.
Right.
And you're like, okay, well, I got to get 20 rounds if I'm trying to, you know, help my handicap. Or if
they're trying to grow the game,
and I want it to go, you know, down to a 15, I got to get 20 rounds. Now they try to adjust it almost on a round-by-round basis. You can see if you get a handicap system that you get text from and emails, it does change quite a bit. So I like that part, that it's at least more current, so that if you are playing better or you're not playing so good, then your handicap can – like, I just got invited to a friend of mine's member tournament. And you got to turn in your handicap and give him your gin and all that kind of – and I'm like, okay. But it's not for a couple more months. And so it did occur to me. I'm like, okay, I don't want to go in there with a really low handicap because – you know, if I don't play well, then I feel like I've
let the guy
down.
So you're 3-putting a lot these days on purpose?
No.
Is that what you're telling me?
I'm adding up everything. I'm like, oh, it's got to count. Uh-huh. There's no more mulligans. It does enter your head. I don't play in a lot of competitive golf things, right? I play for fun most of the time, and I play with friends. And so I don't play competitively. Sometimes we play for a little bit of something, but nothing much.
See, we do at our club all the time. I mean,
those guys,
the group I play with, we have the dot game, we've got this game, skins, birdies, ferrets, you know. I mean, Jesus Christ, by the
I'm
end of the round.
I'm kind
of
curious, does that affect friendships? Like, do people get pissed?
F you said a lot out there, yeah. No, I mean, everybody's friends at the end of the day, but
It gets heated sometimes. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if that's not.
I don't enjoy it. I mean, sometimes I just don't enjoy that, and I just want to go play and have fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can still play and be competitive. I don't need to worry. And what I really hate, and this goes back to my friends, because I played with him a few different times at his course in the same tournament I'm talking about coming up. It's actually later in the summer, and I played with him. I swear to God, the guys you're playing with call you on shots. One time I hit a chip, right? And just from just off the green, and it wasn't very good, but okay, I chipped. I was on the green. The guy goes, and I gave him my score, and I said, I had a bogey, I guess, whatever. He goes, no, it was a double bogey. I go, no, and I kind of go, 4, 5, 5. No, it was a bogey. He goes, no, you double hit that wedge. You had to double hit on it.
I go, that doesn't count anymore. That rule's gone.
Doesn't count anymore, but this was before that, right?
Yeah.
I go, no, I didn't, and I was pissed.
Well, I'll hit the wedge twice. Come over here. Come
he's
over
watching
here.
Me to see, yeah, to see him in double hit. One's going to be your knee, and the other one's going to be your head. That's the double hit my wedge, right? That pissed me off.
I had a guy call a penalty on me in a match because on my backswing, a leaf fell off the tree I was under.
There you go. See?
And he said, I'd pull out the book and show you. I said, you pull that book out, it's going to be stuck up your butt so far that you won't be able to go to the bathroom for a month. Okay, pal? I mean, I was furious. I said, come on, really?
Guys will do that, won't they?
Yeah.
They'll sit there and watch.
I didn't cause the leaf to fall. I said, I didn't cause it. I didn't hit the tree. I don't care. That doesn't matter. I said, yes, it does. I have to cause that to get that penalty.
They're more worried about your game than their own game, right? Their ball is over there on the other side of the fairway, but they're standing close to you when you hit to make sure that you don't move the ball.
I'm just waiting for that one SOB to buy a new car so I can just absolutely take my pickup truck, park next to it, and just take out the door. You know, I mean, really, that made
See
me so mad.
Does? That's why I don't play in a lot of that because I really think that brings out that kind of. And unfortunately, in my experience, the older the person, the more cranky older guys are the worst of that. They just, because you're right, $5 to them might as well be $5,000.
Yeah, they've got lose $5. About 50 million, but they don't care.
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
I'm telling you. A dollar.
Every move you make.
They march through the card room with that dollar bill going, I got a dollar off bass. I'm like, I'm going to take that dollar bill. This one.
Yeah. Oh, it drives me. Yeah.
Really.
Where's the
X-Lax? Put the X-Lax in there, Twinkie, would you? You know?
That just doesn't make it fun for me playing golf, right?
Yeah, I know.
I just like having a good time and having fun. Yeah. And
well, this is. I'll tell you what. This is going to be a good week. RBC's always great.
Of course,
I'm not going to get into the negative part of that, but a good friend of mine who used to be he and his wife, he was the chairman of RBC. And I was invited to their home. I told you about him, I think. I would see him every year at the Masters. And he invited me several times to come stay at their home. He kept saying, why don't you come up to my tournament? Well, I didn't the first time I met him. And I said, well, what's your tournament? He said, well, you're from Canada, right? RBC. He said, oh. Well, I didn't get that he meant it was his tournament. For real. He's the chairman of the board of RBC. But anyway, he passed away this past year. So this kind of was bittersweet for me because I was like, golly, I never went up there. I talked to his wife, but she's doing good. But anyway, long story short, RBC is a great tournament, and I'm sure our friend Zucchino will be having a heyday there.
Yep, it's in his backyard right there. Yeah,
he'll be there.
RBC's been a good sponsor for years, haven't they?
Fabulous. They're a good sponsor all over the place. I mean, several tournaments. Anyway, what about that? I haven't really looked at the weather report for the RBC. Is the smoke going to affect that?
Yeah.
I think it's further west and south, isn't it?
I think it's more like Manitoba in that. I don't know, the weather travels from west to east. So if it's in, you know, starting in Vancouver and it's going through Manitoba and different provinces towards Ontario, it could, I guess.
What are we
going
to call it?
Like I said, they've got that dust coming over from Sahara, but they said.
Oh, that's not going to be north, is it?
No, they said it's mostly going to be the Gulf Coast, like Florida and along the Gulf Coast that it'll hit. And then even then, by the time it gets there, it's like right now it's in the Bahamas, but it's kind of put a haze. Right?
Well, we have a haze here from the smoke in Nashville. Okay. Yeah, it's been a kind of a problem for us. Hmm. A high, very high level haze, but. I thought it was my eyes acting up again.
Purple haze?
The other day. Yeah, no, not purple haze. Not Jim. No, not Mr. Hendricks. No, no, Jimi Hendricks. Anyway, it's going to be a great tournament. And
good. Yeah. You know, and the LIV tournament is not at Justice's place anymore, right? It used to be at Greenbrier. Didn't they play at Greenbrier the last few years?
Yes. Yes.
The LIV, but now they're at a different tournament. They're a different venue.
Different venue. Yeah.
Yeah. For the LIV tournament. So they're not playing there. But anyway, it's going to. Yeah, they're going to play at the Robert Trent Jones Golf Club in Virginia. So anyway, beautiful, beautiful area. I've never played West Virginia.
Oh my God, West Virginia is gorgeous. Beautiful
as I hear,
state.
It's just,
oh my God,
yeah, it's just so spectacular. Yeah.
And the people are so sweet, so hospitable. Yeah. When I was at Greenbrier for the military, what was called the Military Appreciation Tournament at the Greenbrier.
The
PGA Tour.
Right.
That's when Joaquin Neiman won it. That was his first win. That was long ago when I was at that tournament. But sat with Governor Justice at the time up in his box, and he introduced me to his attorney general, who is now the governor of West Virginia. He and his wife, nice people. So I want to go back up there and spend some time. Greenbrier.
Is Justice still the governor?
No, he's a senator.
Oh, he's a senator now. Okay. Yeah. Good for him.
I would rather be a governor than a senator. I mean, you know. I don't want to have to.
I don't know what any of those guys want to do that.
I would be. Governor's fine. You're the chief executive of the state. That's not a problem. Yeah. But a senator, you're just one of many.
Yeah, but I guess you affect the country more than just the governor does. So maybe you wanted to do more stuff from coast to coast, kind of, or whatever. But good for him, too, because the guy's, I think, got a few dollars in his pocket.
He still coaches. He still coaches women's basketball, too.
For him to walk away, you know, and devote so much time to trying to help the public in whatever way he can says a lot for somebody that's kind of.
They put up people in the Greenbrier for free when they had that disaster several years ago.
That's right. Yeah, remember that.
For free, just said, come on, come stay and eat here. It'll take care of you.
Yeah.
And his daughter is the head of, they have a real clinic at the Greenbrier, and his daughter is an MD and the head of that. So it's great. If you have a chance, go to the Greenbrier. They don't sponsor us or anything, but boy, it is one cool place.
I've never been there, but everybody that I know has says it's spectacular.
It is, and the bunker's really cool to see. Where
first class
for the continuity of government.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, we probably ought to get out of here.
Let you do it.
You're going to go play today?
No, I'm not. I had a chance to, but it really rained quite a bit, and I think it's going to be just kind of mushy out there today. I'm going to play tomorrow after it clears out, and supposed to clear out later today, but I think. To play in the next hour or two. Yeah. We just got quite a bit of rain. I didn't know how much we were going to get, but when I woke up, you know, I've got a little part of my patio that puddles up a little bit. So that's my rain gauge. So when I look out, I go,
oh, nice.
It looks like
nice.
We got an,
you're talking about foundation issues now? What?
Yeah. All kinds of problems. So
we're adding a new deck. I don't even want to go into that.
I wouldn't either.
Elevated standalone deck. Yeah.
Add, 3 times the length of time that the guy says it's going to take to do.
Oh, I know.
It will be done in about 4 weeks. Kind of in 3 months.
Yeah.
They never, ever, I don't know what it is with contractors. My brother, seriously, was supposed to do something in his house in Phoenix, was supposed to be ready for Easter. We were going to go visit him right after Easter, right? Easter, Frank, was April, early April.
Still not ready.
Here we are in June. It still isn't done. Unbelievable. I'm like, how the heck do you keep paying the guy? He goes, we're too far down the road. What am I supposed to do? Stop and start with somebody else? Like, it's just unbelievable. So, yeah, every project you do, every little thing to try to.
It is. Well, everybody, enjoy LIV Golf this week. Enjoy the RBC. It's going to be a great week. And then next week we'll have some good shows for you because it is the US Open.
They just keep coming, isn't it? That's what's great about golf is the majors just kind of keep coming, don't they?
Yes, they
boom,
do.
Boom, boom,
and then the Ryder Cup's coming, too. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Can't wait. So can't wait.
The Open Championship, the Ryder Cup, and then the President's
Let's
Cup.
Let's spin some music.
There'll be some Is the Masters going to be held Frank next year, too? Is that
one? I think there's a thing called the Masters.
Yeah, there is.
Tournament.
There is.
New tournament on the tour. Yeah.
Let's get out of here. Get us out of here.
Let's do it.
You better hurry.
Thank you, Steve Johnson, Director of Instruction at Vaquero Country Club, for joining us. We do appreciate it. And check out PXG. Go to pxg.com. Find out about clubs, golf balls, apparel, you name it. They've got it at PXG. And, of course, Invited Clubs. Our title sponsor, invitedclubs.com. Find a course near you. They're all over the country and wonderful, wonderful people at Invited Clubs. In the meantime, for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. Remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.